ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 31. Taijasat tu vikurvanat indriyani dasha abhavan jnana Shaktihi Kriya Shaktihi Buddhihi Pranaha Cha Taijasau Shrotram Tvak Ghrana Drik Jivaha Vak Doho Medhra Angri Payavaha Taijasattu Vikurvanad Indriyani Dashabhavan Jnana Shakti Kriya Shaktir Buddhi Pranas Chataijaso Shrotrang Tvagrana Drig Jiva Vagdo Medhrang Ripayavaha Taijasattu Vikurvanad Indriyani Dashabhavan Jnana Shakti Kriya Shaktir Buddhif Pranas Chataijasau Shrotrang Tvagrana Drig Jiva Vagdo Medhrang Ripayavaha Radhe Shyam Prabhu, like to chant?
Taijasattu Vikurvana
Taijasattu Vikurvana
Indriyani Dashabhavan
Indriyani Dashabhavan
Jnana Shakti Kriya Shakti
Jnana Shakti Kriya Shakti
Buddhi Pranascha Taijasau
Buddhi Pranascha Taijasau
Matajis.
Indriyani Dashabhavan.
taijasat, by the passionate egoism, to but vikuravanat, transformation of indriyani, the senses, dasha, 10, abhavan, generated, jnana, shaktihi, the five senses for acquiring knowledge, kriya shaktihi, the five senses of activities, buddhihi, intelligence, pranaha, the living energy, cha, also, taijasau, all products of the mode of passion, shrotram, the sense for hearing, tvak, the sense for touching, ghrana, the sense for smelling, drik, the sense for seeing, jivaha, the sense for tasting, vak, the sense for speaking, doho, the sense for handling, medhra, the genitals, anghri, the legs, payavaha, the sense for evacuating. Translation. By further transformation of the mode of passion, the sense organs like the ear, skin, nose, eyes, tongue, mouth, hands, genitals, legs, and the outlet for evacuating, together with intelligence and living energy, are all generated. Purport. The living condition in material existence depends more or less on one's intelligence and powerful living energy. Intelligence to counteract the hard struggle for existence is assisted by the senses for acquiring knowledge, and the living energy maintains himself by manipulating the active organs like the hands and legs. But on the whole, the struggle for existence is an exertion of the mode of passion. Therefore, all the sense organs, headed by intelligence and the living energy, prana, are different products and byproducts of the second mode of nature called passion. This mode of passion, however, is the product of the air element as described before. Ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalaka chakshurimilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama Shrishtam Manumapi Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashe Hoi Nijavanchita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This description of how the living beings acquire their sensual functions is very different from what we all learned at school. Of course, in the schools, they don't teach exactly how we acquired the sensual functions, but the general idea is given that somehow or other, everything evolved, and here we all are, scientifically. It's a great mystery for those who accept the so-called scientific method, ascending method of acquiring knowledge. If we just look at our situation and try to examine it, we can maybe discover some things, but not everything. And even if we discover so many things about the apparently expanding universe and the laws of nature, scientific laws, we still can't understand why it's all here. And therefore, some people conclude that everything is meaningless. The atheistic position, philosophically, has to come to meaninglessness. We see there are big atheists in the world who are intent on propagating atheism. Why? Why bother? What's the point? If we are just, we living beings are just a speck, a blip in time, just some chemical combination existing for a blip of time. What does it matter about anything? Richard Dawkins wrote his latest book, what's it called? A Candle in the Darkness. It's his autobiography. There's all darkness and he's come to bring a little light. That's his idea. But you have to come to meaninglessness. Here we have a different description, which is not easy to understand. I have this experience, and probably most of you do too, when reading these sections of the Bhagavatam in which it's described how there is creation. It's difficult to understand, maybe because of our so-called scientific training. But the important point here is that the various senses are given to the living beings by the Supreme Personality of Godhead via the mode of passion, which brings to mind a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Shrotrang Chakshu Sparshanang Cha Rasanam Granam Eva Cha Adishtanang Manas Chaiva Vishayanupasevate. Here in this 1.5 verses, more senses are mentioned. We have the word indriya in Sanskrit, which approximately translates into the English sense, but not fully. It translates into the term jnana indriya. The senses for acquiring knowledge, but it's also used for the limbs which perform activities. So the Gita verse which I just mentioned, which describes the senses for acquiring knowledge, or for acquiring knowledge in the sense of experiencing the world, for having sensual perception. And what's it all for? Vishayanupasevate. For the sake of enjoying the interaction between the senses and the sense objects. And prior to this, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has also stated, Yehi sangsparsha jabhoga dukha yonya evate adyantavanta kontaya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Yeah, phones off, please. Unwanted sensual input at this time. We don't want to hear that now, if at all, any time. The whole Bhagavad Gita, well, from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about the futility and foolishness of trying to enjoy the senses. In the verse which I just quoted, he states something which seems counterintuitive to every living being in material existence. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga. Sparsha, you all know that. I was just thinking as we were going through this, reciting the Sanskrit verse, that many of the words, because you all speak Hindi or Telugu or some language largely derived from Sanskrit, then many of the words you know already. Maybe you don't know the words like Taijasat. I don't think that will come very commonly in Telugu or Hindi or Vikuravarnat, that won't come also. But Indriyani, you can follow, the plural of Indriya. Dasha, you can understand very well. What is it in Telugu? Oh, that's different. But you all, anyway, in Hyderabad, everyone knows Hindi also. So, In original, better Telugu, it's derived from Sanskrit. Yeah, you'll know from Dashavata, you'll know from that, at least. And then if you read Srila Prabhupada's books in the way that he advises us to in the introduction to Bhagavatam, you'll go through the word-by-word meanings also. So by the time you get through, maybe not by the second canto if you're reading it for the first time, but if you come to Abhavat, you'll know that means, well, the translation is given here, generated, means has come into being. Nasato vidyate bhavo nabhav. It's the same word we find, a very common word in the Sanskrit philosophical literature. Bhava means coming into being. So we can follow then jnana, shaktihi. The words jnana and shakti are very common, but exactly what jnana shakti means, when you put them together, that may not be understood immediately. For that we have to study Bhagavatam under some guidance. Jnana shakti, kriya shakti. In this sense, we have a quote, the energies of the Supreme Lord, parasya shakti avividhaiva shruyate. We have, the Lord has many energies. But here, jnana shakti is and kriya shakti are used in the sense of the ability of the living being to perceive, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling, hearing, and the ability of the living being to perform various activities. Not all of these senses exist for all living beings. For instance, snakes don't have legs. Trees don't have legs. They have leg. Well, maybe some trees, like the banyan tree. There's always Keshavatua Jagat Vichitra. It's the very, very Vichitra, you also know the word, but in this sense it means variegated. It's variegated and difficult to understand. So it seems counterintuitive to the living being that the interaction of the senses with the sense objects is a cause of distress. Because seems like it should make us happy. What have you got for breakfast? Malpoa, halva, puris. Ah, sounds good. 3 days old khichdi. Not very good. It's all prasadam, Prabhu. If we invite people to, well, we do, at least in the Western countries, we used to do, have Sunday feast with the idea that people will come for nice food. Because it's just taken for granted that the interaction of the senses with the sense objects in a manner that we like, well, that's what life's all about. That's the primary necessity of life. They think that to satisfy the senses up to the, that is the prime necessity of life. Kamo paboga parama. The demons think that to satisfy the senses is the real goal of life. But from the beginning of Gita, Krishna tells us, tells Arjuna, that this is foolish. And he chastises Arjuna that you want to be happy by not fighting. What does he say? Nahang pashami sreyansi grinatopi madhusudana. I don't see anything good here. But Krishna tells him, it doesn't matter what you think's good, because what you think is good is not good. You got it all wrong. And it's hard to understand. Arjuna makes a very good case, especially not killing his relatives. It's not just sensual, that's dharmic. It becomes very complex when we consider dharma, what to do and what not to do, because the nature of this material world is that what should be done and what should not be done, the rules of dharma often conflict, and practically the whole Mahabharata is one dharma sankat, one after another. Not only the story of the Pandavas, but throughout it's instructive, Mahabharata, inasmuch as we see again and again people in situations where Stephen Covey used to speak of a win-win situation. But we have often, you probably never heard of him, it's just some other so-called guru who popped up for some time and is now forgotten. He spoke of, we should deal with people in a win-win way. So I win, you win. Not that just I win, but we all win. Instead of fighting with each other, let's cooperate and then we'll both win. And then he merged his company with another, what do they call them, motivational guru, and then they fought like anything together. And then he died. So anyway, the idea win-win, but often we find ourselves in lose-lose situations. Whatever we do, it looks bad. If Arjuna fights, that's not good. He's going to kill, he's going to have to attack, at least not kill, his friends, family members, gurus, and even if they're enemies, they're husbands of women, and the women will be left unprotected. On the other hand, if he doesn't fight, he'll be letting down his brothers. So it's a lose-lose situation. What's the solution to all of this? Get drunk. That's what a lot of people do. That's depression. It's hard not to be depressed when everything is going against you. And take some intoxication and forget it. The only problem is that when you come out of the intoxication, the problem is still there. It doesn't go away. It's a mode of ignorance, non-solution. So what to do? Then Krishna advises, the overall solution is spiritual. We have to come to another level of understanding. Understand that this whole world is miserable. And the whole endeavor to enjoy the interaction of the senses with the sense objects, notably, it's the senses are generated from the mode of passion. The mode of passion. In the mode of passion, the motive to enjoy the senses is very strong. It's not there in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness starts, well, sattvat sanjayate jnanam, from the mode of goodness develops knowledge. But to gravitate toward the mode of goodness, to accept the mode of goodness lifestyle, there has to be some knowledge in the first place. That simply living animalistically for the enjoyment of the senses is not how we should live our life. We should come to a higher platform, sense control. The mode of goodness isn't all just about living in the country and breathing fresh air. It's more to do with knowledge, discriminating the spirit from matter, and acting on that platform. So the endeavor for sense gratification is deliberately avoided in the mode of goodness, and in the mode of ignorance, because the mode of passion is also characterized by much activity. So that we get the active sense, the limbs, the legs, the legs and the arms by which we do things. And the other active senses are for bodily functions, urinating, passing stool. So in the mode of ignorance, there's not much endeavor for anything. Capitulation into depression. Just living with no thinking. So in the mode of goodness, begins with the understanding that there is higher purpose of life than trying to enjoy the senses. Enjoying the senses seems to give happiness, but ultimately it produces distress. As Krishna again says in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Vishayan? How does that begin? You're all saying at once, I can't hear it. No, not that one. In the 18th chapter. The in mixing the senses. Yad tad agre mrita upamam. Vishayendriya samyogam, that's it. The mixing of the senses, the bringing of the senses into contact with the sense objects. Vishayendriya samyogam yattad agre mritopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. The mixing of the senses with the sense objects, you bring them together. Something looks nice, let's look. Something sounds nice, let's hear. And it seems just like nectar. But it transforms into poison. That happiness is in the mode of passion. So practically the whole first part of the Bhagavad Gita is very much based on this understanding that to indulge in sense enjoyment is foolish, it's against our real self-interest, and an intelligent person should not endeavor for sense enjoyment. And we may see that, well, there are so many very intelligent people who do endeavor for, and they're very dharmic also. I'm not just talking about mundane scientists and technologists, but high-class brahmanas, followers of dharma. They're performing sacrifices for going to the heavenly planets. But Krishna said, that's also very foolish. It must be hard for Arjuna to hear this because he was raised among brahmanas in his early age, in his childhood. And he's seen it all around him. That's the culture all around him. He's from the Kshatriya class, and the Kshatriyas, one of their duties, or you could say their whole dharma is based around protecting the people, making sure they're following their dharma, and then bringing the fruits of all their work together for offering in major sacrifices, which benefits the whole kingdom and helps to elevate everyone to the higher planets. And Krishna, right in the beginning of Gita, says that they're all fools. They don't know what they should really be doing. Arjuna had an idea to leave the battlefield and become some kind of yogi. And Krishna explained to him what is it like to be a yogi. And Arjuna said, I don't think I can do that. Seems to be too difficult. And then Krishna comes and twists the whole thing around and says, anyway, just be a devotee. And I already told you, you already know, you're already my devotee. So okay, let's start talking about the real important thing. And then Krishna begins chapter 7 by directly introducing topics of devotion. Now what are we to understand from this? The senses are generated from the mode of passion. So what should we do? Like in the first part of the Gita, first six of chapters 2 to 6, Krishna talks a lot about just withdrawing the senses, not engaging them in sense enjoyment. But then Krishna gives that idea, that verse you were quoting, Vishaya Vinivartante Nirahasya Dehinaha. It's like starving, try to starve someone, Niraha, just starving someone. You're going to help them control their senses by starving them. Don't give food. There's one kind of Ayurvedic treat. What's that called? Kuti Pravesh. You go in a dark room or a cave for 1 year or at least 1 month or at least 1 week. And there's no sensual stimulation whatsoever. It's completely dark. You can't hear anything. You can't speak to anyone. And you just sit there for... It's actually meant to be minimum 1 month, or it could be one, if you have 1 year, and you sit there, and once a day they bring you some milk from a special cow, and that's it. And I don't know what they do for evacuation, and must be some arrangement. It's an eye of it. And if you do that, then you're supposed to, an old man's body becomes like a young man's body. But who can do it? And anyway, you have to die. Ultimately. But it's very difficult to do. Who can do that? Who's tried meditating? Probably all of us at some point have tried sitting down. Oh, I forgot. Okay, I'll just get up and do it. Okay, sit down again. If you don't fall asleep, then if you can fall asleep, that's probably, you're not doing too bad. At least you're relaxed. You got some relaxation. Otherwise, chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavadritam tazaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. Trying to control the mind, it's like trying to control the wind. In other words, it's impossible. Krishna says it's not impossible. Can be done. But better you engage your service, your senses in the service, my service. And then we have in Gita, various ways in which we can engage the senses in Krishna's service, because simply by starving the senses, we feel we may have more desire. It's choking up the desire, but it doesn't remove it. That's why Indra, he often sends the dancing girls to tempt the yogis who are doing severe penances. It's considered a sure thing. Send the apsaras. If you send them to a king, it may not tempt him, because he's just like, what would you like for breakfast? Rasgulla, puri, paneer sabji. If you have it every day, you don't want it. I know. It must have been 1977 in Radha Landaneeswara Temple, central London. There was a court order that only a certain number of people could reside there. So the building wasn't meant residentially at all. It was an office building. And if it was a residence, you could comfortably fit maximum 10 people there. And we usually had about 80. With one shower for the men. And I won't say everything. But anyway, a few of us stayed for serving Radha Landaneeswara till their new temple was prepared. So all we had to eat every day was Maha Prasadam. Sounds good? Just after a few days, it was so rich, you can understand a little bit what it means to be God. He's got good digestion. You start longing for some plain khichdi. And all the preparations which we take to be something for our enjoyment, our ability to enjoy is very limited. So, stopping the activities of the senses, that may make us more greedy to enjoy. But then if we overload the senses, then we may not want to enjoy. That's the idea in tantric sadhana, or one kind of tantric sadhana. You just have as much sex and everything, and then you get fed up of it. But it's only temporary. Either way, it's only temporary. If we starve the senses, then it doesn't cure the desire to enjoy them. And if we overload the senses and we get fed up of sense enjoyment, then it's just like, we probably all have that experience. We eat too much, you don't eat anything. And you don't eat anything for maybe one day. And then again hunger comes, and again you want to eat, because it's the innate desire to enjoy by which Krishna gives us the sense objects and the sense organs by which we can enjoy. And it's not the organs themselves or the sense objects, it's our innate desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. That has to be rectified. Otherwise, all means like yoga sadhana or tantra sadhana, they don't address the root problem, which is that our senses are meant for the service of Krishna. That is bhakti, to engage the senses in the service of Krishna. Very simple definition of bhakti. Rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. Very simple definition of bhakti. Krishnarte akila cheshta. Everything should be done for Krishna. Very simple formula, very simple thing to understand. that we are not the body. We are falsely identifying with the body. And because of that, we are suffering while trying to enjoy. So what's the solution? Stop trying to enjoy. Well, that doesn't work. So we have to come, and we can do that especially by the pancharatrik system. We can immediately come to our constitutional position of using the senses in Krishna's service. And we immediately come to the transcendental platform, at least in our activity. The mind has to be rectified. And for that, it's very helpful to discuss these topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, because all the senses are grouped around the mind. That was Sparshan Chakshu, Shotrang Chakshu, Sparshan Chakshu, Rasnam, Granam, Evacha, Adishta. All this manas chaiva, all the senses are grouped around the mind. And the mind is functioning according to the intelligence, which comes from the false ego of thinking, I am an enjoyer of this world. So this topics of Bhagavatam help us to correct that wrong understanding, and at the same time engaging in Krishna's service practically. And this is the curing process of the disease of repeated birth and death. And then when we are fully accustomed to and fully willing to engage our ear, skin, nose, eyes, tongue, mouth, hands, genitals, legs, and evacuating outlet only in the service of Krishna, then we get a spiritual body. And we don't get born again in this material world. And that's the perfection of life, which Bhagavatam is directing us towards. So now, the book marathon is coming up. Actually, in some ways, I don't approve of this book marathon. How about that? Didn't expect to hear that, did you? What do you think of that? Yeah, that's right. We think that we'll only distribute books in December. Go on. Don't stop. You can have a day off now and then for filling up on delicious prasadam. And then, yeah, go on distributing books. Good scope. No doubt. Hyderabad is one of the best cities in the world for distributing books. Yeah, you can say Hari Bol, but you have to go out and distribute the books. It's not that you say Hari Bol and everyone's going to come running in saying, here's the money, give me the set. You have to go out and do the work. But India is the best place for Krishna consciousness. And in some parts, people are more pious than others. It's mixed. We find there's a generally religious disposition among the Telugu people. But then again, most of them eat meat. So it's mixed. But at least they can take books. And Hyderabad, being a large city, prosperous, there's lots of money here. You can sell many books. So now we're doing a lot of sets of books also. Don't neglect the other books. There's a big push for distributing Bhagavatam, but don't forget the other books. We also need to distribute the other. The best thing is distribute a full set. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, Gita, Krishna book, and all the small books. And then you can throw in some others also. You can do. Yesterday I saw the packet of chips being sold for 100 rupees. No one's like, what is this, 100 rupees? You used to be able to go from Bombay to Howrah on the train for quite a lot less than that. I don't know, how much does it cost now in the sleeper class? Probably, how much, 2,000 rupees? I don't know. It's so anyway, money is there. Bhagavatam said, depending on the language and depending on the temple that's selling, it'll be about 8,000 rupees, something like that. And people are buying phones for at least one phone for every member of the family. In one temple I came in, again, that was two nights ago, and there's a little girl just sitting there, there's big kirtan going on as I'm coming in, and she's completely oblivious to it all. She's only about 5 years old, just looking at the phone. So everyone's got a phone. Give them a Bhagavatam set, and don't neglect the other books. Give the other books also. If they're open to it, you don't even have to tell them. You just add on the price of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and throw it in. You don't even have to tell them. It's not that much more. Just some ideas. I'm sure you all have plenty of ideas. But idea this, idea that, you have to go out and do the work. And Radhe Shyam Prabhu is leading the way by personal example, distributing so many Bhagavatam sets. So you should all be like him. If you can all be like him, then your life is successful. Distribute books. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Okay, I'm finished unless anyone has any question or comment. Question? Oh, a question from you. It's gone.
Maharaj,
last time I was here, someone told me that, what was that, Ramchandra has the same qualities as Krishna or something. And I said, who said that? And they said you, but it wasn't you. Something like that.
And I replied to you.
I can't remember exactly.
Amagla Prasadhan, yeah. Maharaj, I only distribute Bhagavatam sets, but Sitaram Prabhu and the team of devotees here, they have a bus which goes out every day, 5-6 hours, sometimes even more.
Yeah.
And throughout the year they do.
Great. Jai.
This temple, Athapur temple, stands for Sankirtan.
Jai.
So.
Books are the basis.
Maharaj, thank you for bringing out some very valuable practical point from this shloka and the purport today. Very nice. Thank you. I had a question. You know, you are making the Salem temple, I heard a stone temple and without electricity. I think it is somewhat like similar to what you said, in a cave, you know, without any access to that.
Well, there'll be lights, deepams, traditional deepams, yeah.
So, when nowadays students are living in the city, you know, at every moment practically the mind and the senses which come in contact with the sense objects, the mind becomes fickle, senses become impure, and they're constantly agitated.
Constantly.
I heard that the agitated mind and senses become weak over a period of time, and they become practically unqualified to absorb spiritual subject matter, you know. So many students who write emails to me or ask questions in the classes, they ask, before acquiring that higher taste, you know, param drishtva, nivartate. So in the stage below that, what are some of the pointers or tips that you would like to suggest where one living in this kind of scenario in the city life, they can keep their mind and senses focused in spiritual subject matter without rendering them more and more weaker by contact with objects?
How do you do it? Well, the simple answer is don't. You don't have to keep your head in your phone all the time. For instance, we do have some level of choice, but then again we find ourselves very weak. And the generic answer to what is a generic question of how do we do this? How do I become sincere? How do I control the senses? How do I become humble? The standard answer to all such questions is seek the association of those who have those qualities. And then by associating with them and simply by being with them, that will help you to acquire the same qualities. Otherwise, yeah, it's very difficult in modern life. But you know what? A generation ago we thought that our generation is lost. And a generation previous to that, they thought the same. It's getting worse all the time, no doubt. It's amazing that anyone's coming to spiritual life at all. If you consider that we are how many generations down the line of Varna Sankara, coming from a Western background, we're not even Varna Sankara, we're just barbarians, that's all. But at least most of you have come from families with Gotras, and you maybe some of you don't even know what Gotra you're born in, I don't know. But at some point they stop following the Vedic Vidhis and the Sanskaras, and so then the children become Varna Sankara, and then children of Varna Sankara, and then children of those, and it becomes worse and worse generation by generation. And then Kali Yuga, Tatashchanu Dhananda Dharmas, Satyam Shokcham Shamadaya Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshantyaya Balang Smritihi. By the influence of Kali Yuga, all good qualities day by day are being reduced. And then if we consider the whole society around us is just bombarding us with highly degrading input all the time, and the whole culture is so messed up that people think that there's nothing more to do than work hard and get money. And all vestiges of human civilization, that instead of having men and women, some healthy separation, instead they encourage, put them all together, and this feminism promoting that women should be like men and men should be like women, completely messing up everything. And on top of that, we're breathing in poison, we drink poison in the water and plastic and everything poison. That all affects our brain functions, and it's amazing that anyone's coming to spiritual life at all. It's really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Otherwise, we would expect the situation to be like at the end of Kali Yuga, where people are eating each other. It's almost, I better not say it too loud, someone thought, well, we didn't try that yet. It's so bad. Cow killing is going on rampantly. Abortion. There are still a few people in India who protest against cow killing. Not the government. Don't say it too loud. But abortion, no one cares. Highly sinful. It's going on all around us. No one cares. Not only do they not care, but they think it's a very good thing. And then abortion and contraception, also very sinful. Artificial contraception, promoting illicit sex. The whole atmosphere is so saturated with sinfulness. It's amazing anyone's taking to spiritual life at all. There's still some hope. There's good hope. If someone's asking you the question, how do I control the mind in this situation? That's a great start. You can tell them that even asking this question is a very good start, because hardly anyone even thinks of these things. The first thing in counteracting the disease is to understand I'm diseased and I need to do something to become healthy. If I go on in the same way, I'm going to be more sick. So it's a very good start. You can tell them that. I'm sure you do. What do you say to them?
The first things I tell them is to throw away the smartphone and take a button phone. That's one of the first things I tell them.
They still make them, or you can buy them.
Still it's second hand. Still it is available in the market. Still, uh-huh. Yeah. Or put parental control for the computer and the phone. That's one of the first things I tell them.
I never had a cell phone, ever. You remember when they first came out, it was a prestigious thing to have one. So many people wanted to give me a phone. I said, no, I'm not going to have a phone. Never had one. It's something intelligent I did in my life. Of course, I have assistants with me. And then, but it's practically it's considered a necessity in the modern age. And they're making it like that, right? The government with their Aadhaar card and voting and everything, it's all connected with your phone. We're all robots. Now they're making robots to do everything. We won't need people anymore. E-generation, generated from a computer. They're just an artificial existence. You won't be able to tell the difference between robots and humans. Practically, you can't anyway. I think that whenever I go on a flight like yesterday, the check-in staff, the stewardesses, the hostess, they're all just like robots. I was thinking yesterday to ask them, are you a real human being? They're just like robots. Thank you for flying on Indigo. And people who are flying, they're just like, these are all the successful people. They can afford to fly, and they're just like wooden puppets or something. I guess that's why people like to watch cartoons. At least you can imagine that there's some kind of life in some kind of figure, because we don't find around us. Just people are just more and more zombie-like as they descend. As they descend from the mode of passion to the depths of tamoguna. So catch them while you can. Give them a book. Give them prasadam. Ask them to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.